Welcome to Star Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Josh Manahan joins me with TalkCast every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either dial on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444 to follow the directions. Call ID 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to Talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 or Starfleet Universe On Call. And of course, just a reminder, we do co-broadcast over on the twitch.tv. Just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall and you will find us there. And if you want to, you can join the chat room. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, feel free. It's also sfuoncall. And of course, I have a personal account called Paul Franz. Just a reminder, if you want to follow me, I am an O's fan. I love being Catholic. And also, I love tech. So if any of those don't float your boat, then don't follow me. And of course, we have the Franz Games account, which I announce all kinds of things that are going on with SFB Online and Starfleet Warlord. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. So not much news from A to B this week. All's quiet. I'm not sure that's good or bad, but it's quiet at the moment. I'm sure they're busy working hard behind the scenes. Moving on to the SFB Online tournament, as I mentioned last week, Sapphire Star tournament was opened and then closed. It went past 4 days. Currently, there are three games that have been played in the first round, which is good to see because of they only have another 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks to finish up. Before they will be cut off the knees and they'll be either be replaced or, you know, called that they have a loss. I'm probably most probably get replaced and they'll have to do a quick catch up. And I have not seen anything new from the Masters tournament. It seems like I'm some of the players that are also start in the Sapphire Star tournament got a little busy. Big surprise there. Moving on to the online client, not much happening there when it comes to the Starfleet Warlord webpage. I'm in the middle of a transitioning into the new one. I will be sending out an announcement very soon about that. I've got the hardest thing done when it comes to updates to that. Part of that is going to be a moving of the accounts from an on-prem, my own personal system to a service, which I still have. There's certain details that I realized I have to still work out, but that'll be done and soon. And so we will be hopefully be seeing a lot better updates to the website and so forth. It makes things a heck of a lot easier. And of course, the FedCom library, there has been progress. I have not, unfortunately, I forgot to do the numbers, but I know the squadron ships, there's at least 4 more, so I'll tell that up to 405. With a fleet size, again, another 5, which makes that all the way up to 284. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, so one of all Paul Franz welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me. So, for those lovely people out there that actually are watching this beautiful stream, hello. Just a quick warning about this podcast. And that is that Andrews do rule, Dave. One thing, which is for those audio people, what I'm going to be doing, describing today is something that's very visual. I will do my darndest. I'll do my best to describe what I am doing on the screen. But this is one of those that you might want to take the time if you're interested. Obviously that's the whole idea of what I'm doing here. To actually grab, the YouTube podcast, the YouTube, or if you want to go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. This week, they will show you the last video that I did. I forgot how long they keep the videos. They're not very long, but they do keep them for a period of time. Oh boy. Hey, Chris. Because tonight is something that actually Chris has been doing. And that is, I wanted to show people how Federation Commander cards, how they take those, and we create ship definitions that are part of SFB Online. Now, I understand that this might be kind of a weird thing to do, but here's my thinking. My thinking on this is that if I show you what is involved, either you'll want to get involved yourself, you think that's kind of cool, or at the very least, you'll understand maybe a little more of kind of behind the scenes kind of work that gets done to improve the product, to expand the library for Federation Commander so people can play the game, so those ships are now available for them to play. So with that, I need to switch the video so that you actually can see my screen. Good? You can actually see my screen. Sometimes OBS gets wonky on me and I can't, and it does nothing. And I'm sure every once in a while people have seen that and go, oh, I see you. I see OBS. I see that. It's like, yeah, that's when the hotkeys stop working. I have no clue. Sometimes the hotkeys work just fine for Mobius. Sometimes they stop working. I have yet to figure out why. But I digress. And big surprise. Anyone who's listened to the show knows I digress often. Chase those rabbits, you know. Okay. So what you normally do, I actually brought up the client. I didn't log in because you don't have to log in to work on the definitions. The only reason you never want to log in is if you want to test your definitions. So I'm going to show a quick one. Okay, bring up the Federation definition tool. First thing you want to do is you want to load an image. So what the image I was going to work on tonight is this one, the Learn LTT Squadron. Oh, by the way, for those of you, I wonder why I just wanted to show people, I got a little present today. This past week, I went and I bought some expansion card packs for Federation Commander. So that's one of the reasons why I was inspired to talk about this. As I told Chris, when it comes to the ship cards, one ship, when it comes to the Andromedans, I'm the only one that I want to be doing those ship cards, just because of one, I'm lazy to a certain degree. I'm lazy in that I don't want to have to document the whole process of how to do the Andromedan ship cards. That's number one. Number two, I like play Andromedans. They're mine. And therefore, since I am the owner of SFB Online, I think I've got a certain bit of say in what happens when it comes to that. But anyway, getting back to what we were doing. Okay, I brought up the Lyran Light Tactical Transport. That is this card. The reason why you might want, it's good to have the card, is that there's different information on the card when it comes to like the damage control rating. Down here is the movement cost. One thing that I realized while I'm looking at this now is that that the online client does not support, which is the whole idea of how many pods that it is carrying. So at the moment, it's going to be assumed that it's carrying a full load of pod. So the first thing to do when it comes to defining a card, and unfortunately some of the images are a little different sizes depending upon what Steve Cole gives us. So these what's called a grid is, you know, different. So the first thing you have to do, okay, let's specify a grid size. I'm going to start with 20 by 20. It looks like maybe a 1 offset. So let's try that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to first define the shields around the board. Start with shield number 1. They go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, something. Okay, so I click here. I'm just do a 2 by 2 shield. And number 1, it came up like this for those watching, showing the kind of box the shield and designator number 1, because I actually prepped for the show, and that's what I had done, and I did not shut down the client in the meantime, so I didn't have to search for the type of box, kind of box. But that's one of those features of the client when it comes to definition tool. That is that when you start defining a kind of box, it will, when it brings up and you click on it to define that a box, it assumes that the next box or a set of boxes that you define are the same kind of box. That is good and bad. That, you know, actually, it's actually really good in that it encourages you to, let's say you want to define phasers. Well, kind of box, you want to go like specify phaser 2 and have it so that you define all the phaser 2s all at the same time. So that makes it so that, because the less times you have to change the kind of box in that window that gets popped up, you know, the faster things will go. Now, let's try a 2x2. This is just a test to see how it works. Look at this. Oh, okay. Looks like the grid boxes 20x20. They don't quite work out. So let's try a different size. Okay, let's first switch from here. Go to selection. Let's go. I'm going to select the boxes and I'm going to delete them. So basically, I just undid what I just did. So I just deleted them. They're gone. So let's try a different grid size. Let's try maybe 22. Let's see how that works. Oops, I forgot. I clicked on it and I forgot that I had to switch back to normal mode. Because normal mode is basically definition mode. So when you click, one thing to know about when you click on a box on these graphical images, because of that's what you're doing. You're for Federation Commander cards, what you're doing is you're laying an overlay of a grid on top of the images that are already there. So the boxes that are already defined, it does that. Now, that differs from the Starfleet Battles third generation definitions. Those, we have a background image, and then we place the boxes, so we create the boxes, and they're drawn on top of that background image. So it's a totally different process. This process is akin to the old SFB first generation process. So let's try 2x2. 2x2, it still looks a little, well, let's just for giggles, let's do this. Switch to selection mode. Let's just do it. Let's select this and let's adjust. I like that. That looks pretty good. I'm not quite sure, but let's try one more. Let's change it one more time. Oops. Let's go back to selection mode and let's select them and delete them. Okay. Let's try grid size of 23. Both sides, because Oh, sorry. Chris had mentioned, I said, how did you delete? Well, I just selected the boxes because you can, in selection mode, you can select the boxes and then just hit the delete key. Because the delete key will actually delete the boxes for you. Okay, so go 23 by 23. Okay, let's try that. 2 by 2. That looks pretty darn good. I like that. I like that. So let's just do this. Let's switch it back to selection mode. Let's go select and delete. And let's go back and let's go to, okay, so 15 X direction, 2 Y for number one. Okay, these look pretty good. But you know, the algorithm is not quite perfect the way it does things. So I'm going to adjust things just a bit right here. Normal, and that is okay. Let's select. And that looks much better. What you can do is in definition tool, after you select it, there are moves. And if you look at the menu for move, it says left one, right one, down, so forth. And you see the arrows, and then basically the up thing, which represents the shift key. So if you hold down the shift key and you use the arrow keys, you can move the whole selection of boxes around one pixel at a time. And that works very good. Now, normally, if I was doing this quickly, I wouldn't adjust this until the very end. To certain for some of these, because like definitely for the shields, I would probably wait to the very end. Things would be a little bit off, but okay, I can go in and fix it. So okay, let's move on. So let's go to two. Whoops, let's switch back to normal mode, and then select box for that. Okay, it says the normal shield box is 2 0 2 across and 12 down, and the shield designator is 2. So okay, boom. And let's do the same thing for. Oops, I got this wrong again. Okay, it's 2 and 15. And then let's go to 3. Oops, that was a mistake. And can I do this? Can I do, and I. Okay, undo the last add. Forget if that actually does undo the last add. No, yeah, I was afraid of that. I have to work on that. But selection, I screwed up there and delete. Because I said 15 down. It should have been 12 down. So let's fix that. Oops, go back to normal mode. So it's. Oops, I didn't. Okay, so it's 2 across 12 down, not 15 down. And make it easy, let's go over to 6. Again, 2 across and 12 down, and number 6. And then go over to 5. So it's 2 across 12 down, and designator of 5. Now, the shield number 4 is a little different because it's not a box shape. So we've got, looks like we have 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. So, and that's 24. So there's two ways of doing this. So one way is to, because there's basically two little boxes on the ends, about 3 across and 2 down. You can do that, which is what I'll do. 3 across and 2 down. And to find that is 4. Okay, I'll repeat that over here to the other side of the way that shield number 4 looks, and then the middle. So 6 and 6, 24 minus 6, oh, sorry, 24 minus 12 is 12. So that means that from here to here it's going to be 12. So let's just define the 12 boxes. That looks pretty good. Well, now we got all the rest of the internal boxes to do. So why not? Let's go with the cargo. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 across and 3 down. So 4 across and 3 down, and this is cargo. Cargo. And then the cargo pod. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's 4 by 6. So 4 by 6. There. Now, before I start putting things together here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do some slight adjustments to clean it up a little bit. There. What I'm doing is I'm selecting a bunch of the boxes, and what I'm doing is I'm moving them down like one. One pixel down, one pixel over. Okay. Oh, then it looks like I should probably do the same thing for the cargo definition. Let's move them over by one. Okay, that looks much better. And I probably should do that also for the shield boxes. Yep, move them over. Okay, like that. Move that over. Okay. That looks much better because you can actually see. I'm not sure if you guys can see on the screen, but now it looks almost perfect where the grid of the filled-in box fills in just the box, and you can see the grid lines of the actual background image bleeding through. And then next thing I want to do here, let me just look at what we got left to do. We've got, okay, phasers. Okay, let's go to the phaser twos. So let's go back to normal mode. And let's go to phaser twos. So now this is where, okay, 1, 2, and then phaser twos. And then it'd be 1, I think I got it. Okay. So I got, because there's two boxes. Oops, I almost forgot. And that's 4 mark plus L. So the first two boxes of phaser twos, they're two boxes down. And there's two designators. There's 1 and 2. Actually, I think I should be able to do 1, 2. I have to double check on that, but I'm pretty sure you can do that. If not, I just screwed it up, and I have to fix it in post. But, okay, so it's 2 down. I designate 2 of them because of its 2 boxes. What will happen is the client will automatically designate the first one 1, the second one 2. So, there. Oops, and definitely a little bit off. Let's double check. Okay, designator 1 there and designator of 2 there. Okay, well, I'll fix that in just a bit. So let's do the phaser twos again. So it's 2 in this time it's 3, 4, and the firing arc is not FA plus R but FA plus L. Okay, that's a little better. Now let's go to the phaser threes. Again, 2 down, and it's going to be 5, 6. And then the arc is left side. So LS. Oops, and I got to change this from phaser 2 to phaser 3. Now, one thing to keep in mind, that if you do this enough, remember, you can, after you bring the kind of box, highlight it, all you have to do is hit the first character repeatedly of that kind. So unfortunately, I've got a microphone right in front of my keyboard, which makes it very hard to do tabbing and so forth. Like it would be, which would make it a lot faster and better to do. But that's one reason you'd hit the number tab, next field tab, and then when you get to the Kainbach, which is the third field, then you could just hit the first character, and then you keep on. So if you know it's phaser, okay, that's P. You repeated hit the P. In the case of phaser 2 to phaser 3, it's already phaser 2 by because I was not finding those previously. So all I have to do is hit P once, and boom, we're already off the changes from phaser 2 to phaser 3, and boom. Okay, so like that, and I'm going to now define that, and that's great. 7, 8. This, oops. 8 and right side. Actually, that's a good. That's a good thing to show. Okay, let's say I goofed up. Instead of making 7, 8, I did 7, *. Whoops. I screwed up. So it's gonna put that in there. So this is gonna be a definition that. So if you click on it, it goes. Since you're in normal mode, it will then allow you to edit the box. So then you can go edit the box from star to 8. There is something that's part of the definition tool. And for most part, if you ever create a definition from the background images that we get from Steve Cole, that is this. Hit on. By definition, by default, each box has a hit on. That is, what are the things, what's the hit type that box gets hit on? And by default, in the case of the phaser, as you see here, it's hit on any weapon and phaser. So if that comes up in the damage allocation chart, that type of a system needs to be destroyed. That will come up in the listing of what kind of box, what box do you want destroyed? If there, which again, if there's an option for a different type, or in the case of actually Federation Commander, there's also gives you the option that if the last box, I think the client does it this way, but I have to double check the rules. And that is that if you want the last box of that type, if you want to save that last box, what you can do is you can have it hit on frame instead of that box, which is very nice feature of Federation Commander versus SFB. SFB, if you hit your, like in the case, you destroy your last weapon, according to the damage allocation rules. You can't do that in SFB. You can't say, I need that last weapon. I want to take an excess damage hit. Can't do that in SFB. That's the rules, as they say. Let's cancel this and boom, correct that. So what we're going to do now actually is I'll let it go. Next thing I'm going to define is the disruptors. These are relatively simple. So let's go here and disruptor A is forward arc. Okay, and then disruptor B, also forward arc, and then disruptor C, which is forward extended. Okay, so got all those done. Well, I think what I'm going to do is let's clean these up a little bit. Go here and There, that looks good. Move down those phasers. Disruptors. Move that. There. Phaser threes. Move those, so it's nice covering the boxes again. Bump, 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 bump. And this disruptor. Bump, 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 bump. Okay. Those look much better than what they did. So, I'm not gonna continue on because I'm assuming people are gonna get bored out of their brains. But that gives you an idea of what needs to be done, because after each box is defined, then you need to go in and correct the positioning of those boxes to make it look nice. And last thing which you need to do is, if you have this, which is, again, the cards are important to have, because this defines the property fields. So what we do is go here, size, class. That's one thing that's actually kind of, that's not on this thing. I have to go from size, class, for the most part, does not matter in Federation Commander. There's only one time it matters, and it's just because I just added it, which is the gunboats. The gunboats have special rules, and currently I changed the client to explicitly look for size class 5, which is gunboats, i.e. PFs. So in that, there are certain modifications to the client in that case. One of those things for gunboats that is special is, as defined by the rules, they get 32 speed drones. So that's one of the things that happens, is that if you fly a gunboat, that gunboat will fly 32 speed drones by default. If you want to change the speed of them after they're launched, feel free. But at the beginning, you cannot do that. So this is a light transport. I'm going to say it's probably a size class 3. BPV, let me look at the card. According to the card, this is 100 plus 10. So I'm going to give it 120 because it has the cargo pod. Damage control rating. And according to the card, it says it's 4. Okay. Down to the Marines. Now, according to this, let me look at the Marines card. Okay. Marines, there are 8 Marines. See, down here you can see 8 Marines. So we put 8 Marines here. And now I'm going to define this tug with one pod. That's weird. Okay. So with one pod, this has, I'm trying to, without pods, it's this, with pods, that, with pod. Okay. Let's go with pod. So with pod, it is a movement cost of 1. The Empire, it says race here, but that's just because that's what these are property keys. These property keys are used in the definition to specify certain values. Obviously, BPV is not as important when it comes to playing the online client, because you really need to have these cards to really play it well. But some other things are kind of important. This is not as nearly important, which is the ship type. But that's always nice to have, especially if you want to add the ship type as a column in a room. Cloak cost doesn't matter because we don't have a cloak. And with a single pod, the turn mode for this sucker is turn mode of C. Okay, bum, bum, bum. I'm just keeping an eye on ships of the earlier. Okay, wow. Okay, this shows the Eldarin, the LDR variant. These Phaser 3s are Phaser Gs, and it says the ships of LDR have 4 Phaser Gs. Nasty, versus 4 Phaser 3s. Give me the Phaser Gs. You know, so, and it's worth only 4 points more. My guess, actually, it's 14 point 20 24 point more. It's not. I've got this wrong. This is not 120. It's 110. It's 100 plus 10. Some reason I read it. It's 110 plus 10. Whatever. Okay. So that, and then what you would do is that you would save it. And since it's a Lyran, okay, let's get the formatting of the file right. So it's Lyran underscore LTT underscore squadron, because it's squadron size. Let me make sure I spell this right. S-Q-A-I squadron. Okay. Cool. So Lyran squadron definition. For those of you who actually have done some work for me, and those who haven't yet done work for me, when it comes to volunteering to help out to add these cards, which the faster we can add them, the more ships you guys have available to play with. But anyway, moving onward, the naming of the files are very important, and here's why. If everyone's files are the same format, that exact format, Lyran, then the ship type, this little thing up here says counter, that's the ship type. That underscore, then whether it's a fleet or squadron, that helps me in my process, because what I did is based on that process, I created an automated process which will take those definitions. It will then automatically add them to the library, to the library list. Copy, make sure that it has the proper counters and all from the SFB library. And then from there, add it. Yeah, so, and it's all done pretty automatically. I have 2 scripts where I want to run. One which will do everything, including copying the counters. Now, the only time I have to rerun that script is when a counter is missing. Most part, that does not happen, but every once in a while it happens. In that case, I have to do more work. And then after that, then I have a process which will take those ships that were copied, then it will add it to the library list. And that is a tremendous amount of... Chris, depends upon the counters. In some of the counters, if I have the old... The actual FedCom counters, yes, but I don't have all the FedCom counters. I'd actually have to ask Steve Cole about getting the FedCom counters. I will have to talk to Steve Cole about it, because currently I'm using the SFB counters just because of they're there. So we have counters, because without counters, we can't play. And then it'll automatically add it to the library. Now, previously, I would have to do a lot of stuff was by hand, and that slowed things down. So the more I can automate the process, the faster, assuming that everything's correct, I can, nothing needs to be changed, because we've had a few of them where the person does not have the properties, they don't have the ship card, so they don't know all the properties that need to be defined for that definition. In which case, I have to then go look for mine, and then or possibly talk to Steve Cole and say, can you give me, which actually brings up a really interesting thing that happened. And until we actually started creating these cards, it was never known. And that is, Steve Cole sent us the Federation Destroyer Escort. Okay, nothing shocking about that. Nothing surprising. But we got the card. We looked at, because if you notice, let me go over here. You notice up here, or it's usually somewhere on the card, it says, okay, what's the product that it came from? You know, in this case, it's Squadron Skill card number 164, and the, there's the copyright. But this part is important. You know, where did the ship card come from? In this case, the Federation Destroyer Escort came from Communique number 90. Most part, that's not too shocking. What was shocking was what I found. Give me over here. And that is, if I go, bum, 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 go here. So I decided, okay, let's go to communique number 90. Here's communique number 90. Scroll down. Okay, where's the ship? Dun, dun, dun. Here's the ship. A Klingon F5E. And scroll down to the bottom. Federation Commander, communique number 90. Ship Squadron Scale card number 901. And the ship card I have is exactly the same. It's communique number 90. You know, ship card number C901. And I told ship, I said, Steve, this is weird. And I explained it to him. And he went, huh, that shouldn't have happened. It's like, yeah, it shouldn't have happened. But it did. Somebody swapped them out. Or it tells me that they've got two cards, both defined as card number C901, which should not happen. My question is, where's the Klingon F5E then? Is it actually C901? Do they have another card which they called the Klingon F5E, which is like C902 or something along those lines? Because, I mean, think, actually, C902 is probably in QMK number 91. Let me look at this down the bottom just for giggles. Go, come on. This is 9/11. Okay, so let's go back to here. So, yeah, Chris, me too. I never seen that Federation Destroyer Escort, me neither. Of course, I haven't really looked at the communiques either. I had not really been keep. I see the communique come out. I might browse through it and read some of the pieces of, you know, articles and so forth that are part of the communique. I just don't read it fully. And even if I look at the ship cards, I might look at the ship cards. Like, oh, that's a nice ship card, but since I don't play that, I have not played that ship, you know, not really interested in flying, in this case, a Klingon F5E. When it comes to Federation Commander, I don't play that too much. I really don't. Yeah, I don't play Klingons hardly at all. The only time I've played the Klingon usually is in the case of teaching someone how to play. Because, as I pointed out before, when it comes to Federation Command, I really think that was the one thing that was a mess up. And the thing is, I'm not sure how you can avoid it. Because of Federation Commander, even though Steve Cole says, oh, it's a new game. No, it's not. It's a conversion. You convert SFB to Federation Commander. Federation Commander is a more simplified approach to playing a tactical war game. A lot of the ships and how, yeah, Chris, it's kind of SFB light. At least it tries to be, anyway. There's certain things about Federation Commander which are different about that does not exist in SFB. And, you know, things if anyone plays Federation Commander, they know these things. And that is, like, the idea of canceling movement. You know, that does not exist in SFB. There's no way to slow down in the middle of a turn. That's one thing that, you know, I think we definitely discussed here on the podcast before, which is the whole idea possibly being added to second generation X ships. Have it so they can actually, you know, use power to slow down the ship. You know, kind of put it into braking, call it, you know, braking energy to slow down the ship, you know. And, you know, another thing is, it's kind of obvious. The amount, when it comes to changing speeds, one, it's limited, kind of. You can only go so up so much. You can't go up a lot. You only can go up a plus one of movement. You can't, like, so if you're going speed 8, you cannot go speed 24. You only can go up from 8 to 16. Which, you know, kind of goes with SFB. But, you know, it's not, the speeds aren't as granular in Federation Commander as SFB. Also, with Federation Commander, you can actually dynamically, on the fly, a lot more easily, do a midterm speed change. You know? Because even with, if you, you know, it's kind of there. You can do a midterm speed change to go faster in SFB. But you also have to do it for a minimum of 8 impulses. While when it comes to Federation Commander, you can do it for what is considered 4 impulses. So, you know, these are things that are different between the Federation Commander that are available in the Federation Commander. And Federation Commander, one of those really gotchas, one of those things that really gets you, is if you're used to SFB, you can't stop and spin. You stop and try to spin, that's fine. You can spin all you want. The thing is, all that extra wonderful energy, you cannot use all that energy for reinforcement. You can use it in bits and drabs, but you can't say, oh, I'm not moving, so now I've got 10 boxes of reinforcement. No, you don't. You got, see that little battery there? You've got a four battery? Oh, that's one you got. Only put 4 points of reinforcement into it. I.e., Federation Commander accentuates the idea that speed is life in SFB. That's one of the things, you know, always been the case with SFB. For the most part, it's speed is life. Though, again, the whole idea of being able to stop and spin, or worse, I know everyone knows, well, anyone who's played SFB for a long period of time knows about the Kaufman retrograde, which is a nasty little bugger of a thing. Which, you know, the idea is that in the case, the original creation was by the feds. Feds, you know, they go in reverse, and so that they can use their direct fire power to hit anything coming. They delay the action of any drones or any secret weapons coming towards them. And of course, in the case of non-Federation or even Federation, seeking weapons come faster because of your opponent is going to be running uphill against this onslaught of power. And whereas they can move slower in reverse, and the opponent has to go faster going forward to get caught up, because you're trying to approach them, and if they're going in the bat reverse, you know, they're going to try to keep the space open. That's the whole idea of a Kaufman retrograde. Now, you know, that's one of the things that, again, is great about the Federation Commander. Federation Commander, you can't do that. With Federation Commander, what happens is that you pay twice the cost, movement cost, for going backwards. Which, see, these are the kinds of rules that back in the day when Federation Commander came out, two things occurred. One, there was the idea, just the idea, that SFB itself, Starfleet Battles itself, would incorporate some of those ideas into the rules of Federation Commander. So that was an interesting idea, and some people liked the idea, but those diehard SFB players went, no, 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 you cannot do that. So there was a real big backlash of ever introducing those rules into SFB. Now, given that, there's also, we have the other part too, which I'm not sure, I forget if Steve Cole actually ever finished it. I'm not sure if there was an official rule book for this, which is it's a bunch of optional rules, and what they're called was Borders of Madness. Borders of Madness basically takes a lot of those SFB rules that were dropped for Federation Commander and add them in, basically expanding the size of the rules for Federation Commander, because that was one of the things that Federation Commander was set to do. Federation Commander was set to pull back on the number of rules that actually made up the game, because of, I'm sure anyone who's ever bought Starfleet Battles, the full rulebook, the master rulebook. Before the master rulebook, when we actually had all the volumes and so forth, let's be honest, people. In some cases, people create that big thick book just to impress people. But then if you actually looked at it, you go, okay, it's only half that thickness. Why? Because half that thickness was what? It was the R rules. R rules and scenarios and all those kind of things, which were like half the thickness of the rule book. So it's like, guys, stop doing that. Jeez. You're scaring people off because you're seeing this number of rules and they're freaking out. As it's bad enough as it was pretty thick. But the whole idea of, you know, was that, and this is one of those things for the annals of time. Yeah, Chris. Well, that Chris has been mentioning that with they incorporate some of the Borders of Madness rules into the regular FedCom rules, like special sensors and carriers. And there, but the thing, even the special sensors, when it comes to, they're going to add them in for the fighters. And they're not added yet. They have special sensors at the moment for bases, and they have special rules. And these special sensors are only for bases. The special sensors for, if they're going to be available for carriers, I'm not so sure. Now there are scouts, and I forgot what limitations. Yeah, I forgot about the scouts, and there are some things that are limited. But there are certain things that if I recall correctly, when it comes to the special sensors that are not added in to regular FedCom rules, which is like the EW stuff. That's one of the things that never was added to the FedCom. But anyway, getting back to it, the SFB real quick. And that is with SFB, the reason why it got so thick is it is a product of the times. And why do I say that? Basically, this was pre-internet. Communication was done mainly through mail, you know, snail mail, as they call it today. Letters, you know, basically letters that get sent out. You would, maybe talking on the phone. A lot of times that communication where people got together, that was the conventions. And what happened, yeah, true Iggy. You say it's not even 500 pages. Yeah, forget how many 100 pages it is. But wait, the issue was that those separate groups would get together at these conventions, and each one had their own interpretation of what the rules meant. And so Steve Cole would have to come up and clarify what that rule really meant. And that's why, if you ever looked at SFB rules, a lot of what SFB rules do, it clarifies the interaction. Well, I didn't know that. Interaction between different systems, which to me, as a player, is wonderful. But that can be just scary. Because most of the time, you don't need all those rules. You don't even look at those parts of the rule. For example, a simple example is when it comes to, you know, ESGs and Hellbores. Unless you're actually playing a Lyran against a Hydran, you might never use that rule. That's just one rule of many, because it's interactions between different systems. So, you know, for example, ESGs, when they run into an asteroid, or actually one I still remember I had to ask Steve Patrick about this, which is how much damage does a dummy T-bomb do to an ESG? And I came to find out that, yes, a dummy T-bomb does 1 point of damage to an ESG. And the reason why I had to ask this, because of, in the tournament, the Andromedan crate gets one T-bomb, but also gets one dummy T-bomb, too. So, in theory, it can reduce an ESG down by 11, not 10, but 11. If you put out both of them out there, you can actually reduce an ESG by 11 points. So, you gotta be kidding me, Chris. Chris is pointing out that the special sensors actually do EW. I have to, have to double check that rule because Lord knows. That's one of those things that in FedCon we wanted to get away from because Lord knows more than one person doesn't like playing regular SFB, i.e. full EW and all that, just because it is a freaking pain in the butt to do all of that EW stuff. Because, you know, that's not as worse. The worst one actually is TAC Intel, but that's an optional rule, which I think most people would agree that they're not going to use TAC Intel. And I know more than one person has actually asked for me to actually implement TAC Intel as part of the client. And overall, the problem with implementing TAC Intel as part of the client is how do you hide certain aspects of the ship? Thank you, Iggy. Iggy loves EW. I hate it. Now, here's a question for Chris and Iggy. Hi, Jonathan. When it comes to special sensors in EW, does it affect cloak at all? Can you use the special sensors to use ECCM against the cloak and therefore make a cloak not as effective? You know, because that's one of those things that EW is used for, is to make it easier to get an active fire control on a cloaked ship. And my guess would be if that is allowed in FedCom, you know, that it'd be ECCM, apply a certain amount of ECCM against a ship that's cloaked, you can actually do more damage against it. That would be, in my mind, the simplistic form when it comes to interaction between special sensors and cloak. But as I said, I'd have to look and see what things are actually covered with special sensors. Because currently, I have to look at FedCom rules when it comes to cloaks, because my understanding is that there was no such thing as active fire control in FedCom when it comes to cloaking. But again, it's not one of those rules I really have to reread, because it's been a long, long, long time since I even looked at cloaking in FedCom. Yep. In FedCom, there is no mention of cloaks in the special sensor rules. So, but yeah, for FedCom, yeah. I mean, for SFB, yeah. You know, you have to have lock-on. The idea of EW is to maintain lock-on or to help with achieving lock-on. Ah, they've been playing SFB. That is why. No, which is fine. You know, please, by all means. It gives you a good idea of how ship cards are actually taken. We get the images because Steve Cole was actually giving out the ship cards for those people who want to play by email. You know, you could get these trimmed down ship cards. The idea was to encourage people to play by email. Now, I've not heard of anyone playing by email for a while. I actually had two players playing by email, and it's one guy got busy and the game died. That's always the issue when it comes to play by email, and that it will invariably people will just lose interest and die. Now, that does brings up a question, which I think I'll leave for later on. I'm not going to approach it tonight because we're winding down here. But the question is, can play by email, not against the opponent, but against the computer, how would that work? How would that do? Because here's the reason why I broached the subject, and that is the whole idea that some people are too busy to sit down and play interactively with against the computer, because that's the benefit of play by email. Period, is that you create your directions, the directions that you want to, the ship, where you want the ship to go, the orders that you want for firing your weapons and things like that. And you, for that, would having it so it was against a automated opponent, and even not just an automated opponent, because see, when you have an automated opponent, you can actually have in theory, you should also be able to do an automated moderator at that point. So, but anyway, it's just something, it's just a thought. I will definitely discuss it again, maybe next week, maybe a week after that. The idea being that I will bring that back up because I'm one of those people that to this day, I still believe in asynchronous play, because Lord knows if I didn't believe in asynchronous play, I wouldn't even bother with Starfleet Warlord, because Starfleet Warlord, that's all you've got is asynchronous play. So that's the basis of everything, is it's asynchronous. You submit your orders and you get them back at a later point in time. So you don't always have to be actively interacting with a system to play. And Lord, these days, with COVID and the pandemic and all that, people are playing online maybe a little bit more. And maybe have a little more time to play, real world and actually have some interaction, which I think some people actually they want to have that interaction. So, so play by email might the whole idea of asynchronous play is not as much up there. Well, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.